Morning. I'm reminded of Anne Lamott in her book Traveling Mercies saying that she just thought that there were two prayers. One was please, 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 and the other was thank you, thank you, thank you. There's something to that, I think, and we've said a lot of please, please, please this morning. I want to tell you about a thank you, thank you, thank you. Teresa Dominick told me this morning that she's gone back for tests from her cancer. Nothing. Nothing. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We say please, please, please a lot and sometimes don't remember to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We continue this morning in the story, the Jesus story. This week we've been reading through Colossians and Philemon, and the sermon will come from the book of Colossians. As always, if you have a prayer request, our elders would love to meet with you and pray with you. A couple of our elders and their wives will be in the conference room, out the back doors and down to the left. And we will begin this morning asking God's blessing upon the preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Father, we know that Your Word is powerful, and it speaks powerfully into our lives. And we know that Your Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this morning, Father, we give attention to Your Son, Jesus, and the role He plays in our lives, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And as we think about all of those things this morning, Father, we ask Your blessing upon the preaching of Your Word and the hearing of Your Word. It's through Your Son we pray. Amen. Would you like to know the secret? A man was traveling by car across Tibet on a rather rough road when his car broke down. So he got out and walked a little ways and came to a Buddhist monastery, knocked on the door, asked if he could spend the night. They said certainly. Not only did they let him spend the night, but they fed him dinner and they fixed his car. So the next day he went on his way. But during the night, he had heard a sound coming from the depths of the monastery, and he asked the monks the next morning, "What is that sound?" And they said, "Well, it's a secret, and we can't tell you because you're not a monk." Okay, he thought. And he went on, and a couple of years later, he was traveling down the same road, and again, his car broke down, and again, he went to the monastery door, knocked on the door, asked for help, and again, they helped him, fed him dinner, let him spend the night, fixed his car. But again, during the night, he heard this strange sound coming from the depths of the monastery. And again, the next morning, he asked about the sound, and once again was told, "We can't tell you. It's a secret. You're not a monk." He said, "Well, I've got to know. I'm dying to know. Tell me what I have to do to become a monk." So they said, "You must travel the world and count all of the blades of grass and all of the sand on the seashore, and then come back and tell us, and then you can be a monk." And so he did that. And 45 years later, he came back, knocked on the door. He said, "I'm back. You sent me out to find out the number of the blades of grass in the world, the number of sands on the seashore, and I've come to tell you. And here they are." And he rattled off the numbers to them, and they said, "You are right." He said, "Well, now I've got to know the mystery, the secret. What is that sound?" And so they took him to a wooden door with a lock. He said, "May I have the key?" "Yes." They gave him the key, unlocked the door, went through the door. There was another door, a stone door. Again, unlocked the door. And through many other doors, ruby and sapphire and emerald and topaz. And he got to the last door, silver, opened the door, and there it was, that which was making the sound. "And I would tell you all, but you're not monks." There are many who offer the secret to life. I just give you some of these quotes here. "The secret is knowing what you want and asking for it," one says. "The secret of life is to fail 7 times and get up 8 times. Or another says, "Is one of the secrets of life is to find your gifts and then to use those gifts." Lots of offerings for secrets of life. Paul refers to this secret as a mystery that is a treasure. All the answers in life lie in this secret. If we only had the key, would help us to see so clearly. If you've raised children, you've watched them fight over the silliest things. I remember our fifth grade son finding out how to push the buttons of his seventh grade daughter or sister. And he would just keep pushing those buttons, and I tried to take her aside and explain to her, you know what he's doing here. He's found out what's pushing your buttons, and he just keeps doing it over and over. And if you'd quit letting that bother you, he would quit doing it. But she could never see it. She could never understand. We can see so clearly other people's issues. We have difficulty seeing our own, don't we? What would it be like? What would it be like to see the world clearly? What would it be like to understand what it is that's pushing our buttons so that it wouldn't bother us anymore? What would it be like to have this anxiety, but then understand what's causing all of that and to learn peace in our lives? What would it be like to understand the things that are causing our sadness and anger and to move past those things in our lives? The secret, the mystery to all of those things, the Apostle Paul tells us, is not in some technique or in some self-help book, but it's in a person. And he writes these words, "For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the secrets, all the treasures, all the mysteries contained in this person who was around before land and sea were made, around before elephants and rhinoceroses and ticks and roly-poly bugs. Through all of them, Scripture says, through all of them, they were made, all of them made through Him. Even all the powers that exist. We think of gravity. What keeps us on this planet as it all spins around and keeps us from being flung off? Gravity, made through Him. We think about the sun, that orb in the sky that provides all life through the light it gives off, made through Him. And not just physical powers, but spiritual powers, demons and angels, made through Him, although some have chosen to go their own way. But before this chaotic mass came along, all made through Him. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The secrets come in this man. The mystery wrapped up in a man who walked this earth some 2,000 years ago. Of course, other people have made the same kind of claim. The secret can come from some great teacher, the Buddha, the Dalai Lama, Deepak Chopra, Charles Schulz, maybe. But Jesus was not simply a man. He wasn't simply a great teacher, although He was that. He was God in the flesh. All things created by Him and for Him. Before this chaotic mess all came together in creation, and God said, "Let there be light," before any of that, there was the Christ. Think about this. Some 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus was born onto this earth, but the Christ already existed before that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God packaged that of Himself and put it into human form. And then here is the amazing part of the story. The Jesus story. Here is the amazing part. God took all of that fullness that He put into Christ, and He's put it in you. And He's put it in me. Listen to Paul as he continues on. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the Word of God fully known. The mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul's telling us, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have the very essence of God implanted inside you so that you can carry through and to, through this world, to home. If you are a disciple, you are carrying something of God inside of you. Christ in us, the hope of glory, that is the mystery. God packaging Himself, this treasure put in Jesus, and then Jesus put inside of you and inside of me, the mystery. And the Spirit of Christ then lives in the people of Christ. Last week, Scott challenged you to think about this higher plane of living, and he gave you a couple of examples, the Apostle Paul being one of them. What is it like to live and to sit in prison, chained up, and still to have this confidence in your life, and still to have this contentment? And he spoke to you of Nico Maples and how we see someone in our own day living that life only because of the presence of the Spirit of Christ in their lives. And in fact, when we look at the New Testament, Jesus only lives this life because of the Spirit of God in Him. How was it that He came to this world? But the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she conceived. How was it He went about His ministry, but the Holy Spirit guides Him out into the wilderness to begin this ministry? And how is it He goes around doing all of the things that He does? Listen to the book of Acts as it describes Him. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. The Spirit of God in Christ and the Spirit of Christ in us. Before the crucifixion, Jesus told His apostles, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Spirit to you, the Comforter, the Advocate. Listen to what He said. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Did you catch that? It's better, Jesus tells the disciples, if I leave, because then the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, is going to come, is going to come in you. And wherever you go, each one of you, into any part of the world, I will go in you. This mystery lives inside each one of us. So how is it then, as we think about this, how is it we will bring this mystery, this secret to life inside ourselves? How we will bring it to life? What about this idea? What if we just add some rules to our lives? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Actually, we don't have to create them and add them. Judaism did it for us. All of these rituals that gave them great confidence in their relationship with God, in their paint-by-number faith. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. If I just keep the rituals, if I just follow these rituals, then I will be right with God. It's kind of nice, these rules. They're black and white. Do this, don't do that. We can have a lot of confidence in our own behavior. It's all very, very manageable. In a manageable world, you figure out the teacher. Those of you who've been students, you get that. I figure out the teacher, the way the teacher teaches things and gives tests. And then I just figure them out and I do them and I get a good grade. I can manage my grade. It's all very manageable. In a manageable world, we figure out religion. What hoops do we need to jump through? What things do we need to do so that when we die, we can go to heaven? It has a certain appeal, doesn't it? If you do church right, then you will be right. So we have to do communion right. We have to be baptized right. We have to go to church on Sunday. It appeals to that black and white nature in us, which is not always as black and white as we would like it to be. We have to meet on Sunday, you say, for church. Yes, the early church met on Sunday. But what time on Sunday? Because for Jewish people, Sunday began at 6 p.m. on Saturday night and continued on Sunday night and ended at 6 p.m. on Sunday night. Can we have a Sunday night service after 6 p.m.? Can we take the Lord's Supper then? Ooh, I don't know. Not quite so black and white. But when can we take the Lord's Supper? Take it on Sunday, of course. But Jesus instituted it on Thursday night. Can we take it maybe on Thursday night also? Well, you can take it on Thursday night if you use but one cup. Because they just had one cup. Oh, but then I read the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke, they take two cups. Things are not always quite as black and white as we'd like them to be. And the appeal for us, of course, is not just that things are black and white, but in their black and whiteness, they are manageable. We can manage them. We can do them. We just work out the details, and then we are right. Which is not much different than a lot of techniques that people offer us in the world. Here are these techniques of meditation. If you'll just follow these techniques, life will be better. That will be the secret of life. And they often come with numbers. Have you ever noticed that? 7 habits of highly effective people. 10 techniques to change your life. 100 tips to improve your life. The numbers just keep growing. All of them to help us manage life. Manageable. It's the word of the addict. I'm managing it. And maybe he is, to a certain degree. But what he is managing and what you and I are managing is our behavior, what we are doing. We're managing our habits. We're managing our techniques. We're even managing our rituals. What we are not managing is our sin. Because sin will not be managed. It will not be managed by humans. It will not be managed by rituals. It will not be managed by techniques. Sin is a power that must be overpowered. And fortunately for us, the Apostle Paul tells us, we have the overpowerer. I know that's not a word, but we're going to go with it anyway. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And yet we are often like the man hauling garbage that has a masterpiece sitting in his attic. We're like the man working the grind of the 9 to 5 and his trailer sits on the mother load. We so easily slip into Dorothy mode. We think the way through and to is the yellow brick road. We think that do not handle, do not taste, do not touch is the way through and to. Right technique is the way through and to. But Dorothy always had what she needed with her. And what was it? What was it? The ruby slippers. Thank you. They were silver. I love it. And we have, the point is, we have the way to and through with us as well. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the secret, the mystery. And so Paul has a word for us Dorothys. He says, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the universe, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to its regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. All of these regulations refer to things that perish with use. They are simply human commands and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-imposed piety, humility, and severe treatment of the body, but they are of no value. They are of no value and checking self-indulgence. Sin will not be managed. The rituals that we might engage in, our techniques are all fine. I'm sure 7 habits for highly effective people can be very helpful at times. And our rituals in church are good and serve a good purpose. Our baptism into Christ connects us with the mystery. We take the Lord's Supper to remind us of the mystery. And we come here on Sundays and we sing praise to the mystery. But none of those things are the mystery. And if we confuse them with the mystery, we engage in idolatry. Christ in us, the hope of glory, is the mystery. So what if you could have that secret? What if you could see the world clearly? What if you had that secret to not be controlled by your desires? What if you had that secret so you could be content in any and every situation? As Paul said about himself, you do. Dorothy, you do. You just need to use those ruby or silver slippers, whatever color they are. Listen to Paul. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You have it. You have the mystery and the secret in you. Will you grasp it? Sing with me again. Jesus, let us come to know You. Let us see You face to face. Touch us, hold us, use us, mold us. Only let us live in You. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let's stand and sing.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who any sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Just wanted to say real quick, we had a great night at our Valentine banquet last night. Our students did a wonderful job. We have a lot of talented students. If you were there last night, Troy Kim got up early this morning, got the pictures developed. So if you'll come see me up here, we have your pictures from last night. And also, someone left their Chick-fil-A card. If you don't claim it, Andy said he's going to take it. So, thank you.
Thank you, Curtis. Thank you for being here. As we dismiss, hear these words. Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking. because you were called together in one body to have peace. Always be thankful. Let the teaching of Christ live in you richly. Use all wisdom to teach and instruct each other by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Everything you do, everything you say, should be done to obey Jesus, your Lord. And in all you do, give thanks to God the Father through Jesus. You are dismissed.